Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Today on the show, I'm going to be digging into Paul Skeen's start, his debut. I want to see what he was all about. I've got a book excerpt that I read randomly. I opened to a random page, read it, fascinated by it. I've read it to like five different people. I'm going to read it to you guys. I find it very interesting. And at the end, the third thing we're going to do is we're going to find out which teams own which inning offensively. Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. So thank you for tuning in. If you're on the YouTube channel, please subscribe. If you're listening audio only, thank you. And if you don't know that each other exists, yes, there's podcast audio only, and then there's a YouTube video. All right, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee, and then we're going to get into topic number one. Here we go. All right, Paul Skeen's start, debut, big pitcher, big prospect. It was over the weekend. I was hanging out with the kids, having some fun. Mother's Day, although did he start on Saturday? I don't know. I didn't get to see it. I saw highlights, but I want to dive a little deeper. First thing I like looking at is the pitch mix stuff. So here I have a graph that is showing us how he faced righties. So he's a righty. Righty on righty, the same side is the tougher matchup. So usually pitchers have a smaller arsenal because they don't need as much stuff to get the same side out. So he only threw three pitchers to righties: four-seam fastball, split finger, and slider. To lefties, he threw five different pitches, which is all of his pitches. He threw four-seam fastball, split finger. Those were still the most popular pitches that he threw at 46% for the fastball and 22% for the split finger. Then he did mix in the slider, 10 pitches, but he went to changeups and curveballs to give a different look to the lefties, so they would have more to think about up there. That was his attack approach. The next thing I like doing is seeing what pitches he really trusts. So first pitch of the at-bat, he went with a ton of different pitches. I like that. The split finger, he threw the most, 8 times he threw the split finger in an 0-0 count. Four-seam fastball and slider, 5 times a piece. 2 get-me-over curveballs, and 1 changeup he threw in an 0-0 count. It's kind of interesting. Probably just to a lefty. All right, so then with 2 strikes, his swing and miss stuff. Fastball 57% of the time with 2 strikes because it's 100 miles per hour. So that tells me he kind of likes to pitch backwards a little bit. Slider was the next highest at 2 strikes. Swing and miss slider. That makes sense. All right, what is his reliable pitches? 2-0 and 3-0 counts. You need a strike. You want to fight back. He threw mostly four-seam fastballs and split finger. So kind of is cool to me. Split finger pitch, usually it's a split change. His is a change of pace off of his fastball, but it's still like 95 miles per hour. His fastball is 100. So I don't know if we're calling that a split change or split fastball. But that's cool that he can throw that split and it's not swing and miss, 2 strike stuff. Like he trusts himself to put that in the zone. Unless these are 2-0 swing and misses he's throwing. And then with 3 ball counts, only the four seam and the split finger. So the four seam and the split finger were the 2 most pitches he threw with 3 balls with 2-0 and 3-0 counts and to lefties and righties. So it seems like those are the pitches he likes. In the first inning, he threw a plethora of pitches. But if you look at this chart right here that I put together, these are the 4 batters he faced. And you can see that he faced 2 lefties, the light gray, and they saw 4-seam fastballs, changeups, sliders. The righties didn't see a 4-seam fastball, which would be in red. They didn't see a 4-seam fastball in the first inning. So I wonder if that was going off feel because he threw so many the first batter and they weren't there, or if that was a plan of attack. So Talkman's leading off for the Cubs. Smart, because on a previous episode when I did research into finding the best leadoff hitter who's not currently hitting leadoff, Talkman came up. So he's batting leadoff. And he's going to open up with a fastball. And it's 101 miles per hour below the zone. So just kind of yanked it. Fired up. 101 dead center. Talkman takes a swing at that and misses it. But he kind of was ready for it. So off of that swing, they go slider. And he misses his spot. That's way outside. Doesn't come in. So now he's behind 2-1. And they're just like, let's get the fastball underway. Strike 2. Buries 1. So now it's a 3-2 count. And he strikes him out. 101 on the outside. That's a nice pitch. Okay, that was pretty simple. Next time the righty comes up and they introduce the split finger. Oh, okay, I see how he's freezing people with that. It does have downwards movement. That's a nice pitch. I don't think you can really tell how much it's doing there. And then he goes slider. Oh, that's nasty. Those two are nasty back to back. Whoa, okay. That's two different sliders. This first one, I guess it's the same. I wonder if he's manipulating that. This first one has a little bit of bite. A little more of like a bullet slider, almost 87 miles per hour. This next slider he throws with two strikes, the 0-2, is a sweeper. 84 miles per hour and way more movement. I'm going to try and overlay those and see if that shows us anything cool. So that is two different manipulations of the slider that he threw, which is pretty impressive that he's able to do that off of the splitter. All right, so here's the overlay of the two sliders, and you can see they are different sliders. You can see one, it starts way more on the right and then gets way more to the left at a slower pace. So, yeah, he's manipulating that and throwing two different sliders here right away. That is awesome. And if I put the split finger up there as well, the three pitches, let's just work one. This is the sweepy slider off the split finger. But I don't like that pitch mix. So what he does is he throws the bullet slider off of the split finger because those are closer in speed at 96 and 87, but still the other one was 84. And also in like movement because it's not crazy. Wow. All right. That was awesome. So I like split fingers, but that was the two different sliders there. It's awesome. All right. So then he gets up lefty again. And this is a long at bat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitches. So fastball right away to Bellinger. He fouls it back. He was ready for it. So now they're going to mix in the changeup for the first time. Oh, that's nice. Wow. Okay. So that was really nice. And you can see Bellinger's way fooled. Now they have him two strikes, and they're going to try and go fastball to get him out. Have him swinging low and away. That's where they just got him on the changeup. Ooh. The count is 1-2 now, and they go fastball again. Up. Fouls it off. Now they're going to go back to the changeup because it was awesome. And Belly's on it that time, but fouls it back. But he's still very ugly swing. So they double it up, and he misses his spot. That first changeup was crazy, though. 2-2, and they're like, let's just go the fastball. Misses his spot again. Count is full. And now the 3-2, ooh, spikes it. So he does lose. He's just losing control of the fastball. I know the conditions weren't great, but oh, my God. I got to pause again and make an overlay of that first fastball changeup because that was nasty. Okay, here's the overlay of those two, which at full speed, can't see much. And it's so bright, and this camera angle's hard because the head gets in the way. But you can see they look the same, and one comes dead center and the other tails away, and they're, what are they, 12 miles per hour different? That was really nice. But then he did lose control the rest of that at bat and ends up walking Belly. Two outs, up comes the next batter, righty, and he throws the split finger again, first pitch, and that is hit really, really, really hard, but just short of the track. So first pitch split finger worked to the first righty, not to the next righty, because it had less bite. It was 96, so a little more amped up, I guess. Less dip. Maybe he needs that to be a little lower. A little slower, I mean. All right, second inning now. We got a lefty coming up, and he goes splitter, splitter to the lefty, which is different. It's Happer. Wow, nice pitch. Oh, my God, that thing just falls. What up, Hap? Sorry about it. 0-1, and they're going to double up the split. Really, was that a split? Yeah. And Hap just fights it off. Again, the splitter induces ground balls because it tumbles downwards. So you're going to get on top of it, hit ground balls. Opens up the second inning with three splitters in a row because the first two to Hap were pretty nice. And now he's got a righty up, Horner, and he hits him with it. Okay. So the consistency isn't quite there yet, which I mean is absolutely fine. It's his debut and there's nerves are probably going crazy and the jitters and all that. But like, almost every pitch so far he's thrown like, damn, that was nasty. And then all of a sudden there's one that just like, you know, fastball is just spiky and that one just slips away after two really good ones. Up comes a lefty and he's got a runner on. So he's in the stretch and he's going to go and establish the fastball. This looks like a pretty straightforward pitch mix. First pitch fastball away. Next pitch fastball away again. So he's down 2-0. So this is the slider he throws 2-0. Oh, he didn't get that? That is a perfectly executed slider. And again, it's not the sweepy slider. It's the more bullet slider, 88 miles per hour. Wow, is that because the catcher had to reach? It is. Look how the catcher caught that. That's a strike. But it's bad receiving job. So 3-0 goes fastball, rips that one hard, and walk. So now he's got two on, one out, and Mastroboni's up, goes back to the splitter. Like, that is I love that pitch for strike one. I mean, when they take it looking, it's just like, yep, because it's got a little dip to it. So you can see like, oh, it wasn't what they wanted. Slider off of that. Okay, he goes sweeper this time. I wonder if they have these as different. They don't. They're calling these all sliders. That is the slower, more sweepy slider in there for strike two. And now he's going to try and get him fastball strike three. And I believe that is how he wants to pitch. It seems, because there's a sequence later and he goes back to the slider and a tighter slider. This is awesome. I love that he's throwing these different sliders. So he's showing them two different sliders in the same at bat. So the first slider here is the sweepy one that goes real left or right to left. Then he goes back to the fastball, 100 down the middle. It's fought off. He goes, all right, let's go back to the slider, but let's throw the bullet slider, 89, less horizontal movement. It's put in play. But I still love the concept of it. Like, all right, if I show him one, let's not show him the other. I think he's manipulating that on purpose. Seems like it. Well, now he's in a bit of a jam. Bases loaded. That one was hit and put in play. Bases loaded, one out. Yan Gomes up. The nine-hole hitter, and he opens him up slider. And that's a nice pitch. 87, guts across the plate. The next slider, he comes inside. So the first one was a slider that broke so far away, and the next one is one that he probably aims at his hip and gets him. It looks like the way the catcher is, he missed the spot there because it's right down the middle, and if Gomes squares that up, you're toast. Three sliders in a row. That was the swing and miss attempt. And now he's going to go fastball. And again, I think he likes pitching backwards and he spikes that fastball. So he's like, all right, slider's been looking good. Gomes battles, fights it off. And then he's going to go back to the fastball. Oh, that is nasty. Just freezes him. What does Gomes think? That's not a strike. That's a strike. Let's find the best slider of this at bat. That one. And then the frozen fastball. And be right back. I'm going to make another overlay. I'm addicted. Okay, here we go. We got the inside slider and the fastball to end it. Sequenced. That sucks if you're the hitter. Look at that. I mean, they're not really tunneled that well, but it's just eating you up on the inside in two different ways. The timing is so different. 101 and 85. And I think he saw so many sliders. He was sitting slider, and that fastball just got him. Okay, so now he throws a get-me-over curveball, bases loaded, two outs to Talkman. I think that's a scary pitch, but it's the second time through the order, so Talkman's up for another time, and he wants to show him a pitch that he hasn't thrown yet. A lot of people and pitchers do this. They'll save, like, kind of their worst, you know, fourth or fifth pitch and as a get-me-over pitch, and let's see. So, okay, the curveball has more vertical movement. It's outside. It's never a strike. Now you fall behind, bases loaded to the one hitter. Uh-oh. Wow. Fastball on the outside misses again. So now you're down 2-0. You need a strike. Get back in this count. Okay, yeah. So that's just gear back, 101 mile per hour, put it in the zone. Talkman fouls it back. Off of that, they go slider. Oh, nasty. That's the 84 mile per hour one with a lot of horizontal break. Boom, bottom of the zone, awesome pitch. Off of that, they're going to go back to the fastball and keep it low, and we get a ground out, nice play from second. So lefties are putting the ball in play on, you know, pitches that he's, I think, happy with. That was a second inning. I'm falling in love with Skeens. I understand the hype now. All right, see this sequence right here to Suzuki? See how the colors? It's splitter, slider, four-seam. I think that's, at least in this game, so many times, that's what he wants to do is pitch backwards. And because he trusts his splitter so much and it's 95 miles per hour with bite, that he can use that. Like if that was anyone else's fastball, like a kind of like a two seam fastball with a little bit of dip, they would use it as a fastball. And And then because his four seam is 101, he gets to use that as the punch out, like a how you usually use like a wipeout slider. It's kind of crazy. All right, let's look at the sequence. I mean, he was nasty to Suzuki in his first at bat. Did Suzuki just get diced up twice? He get his best up. He didn't like that call. That's his nice splitter on the inside. It's got such late little dip to it. I love that. So then slider off of that. And he, holy shit. He goes with the slower one. 83 miles per hour. Suzuki totally buckles out because the splitter was coming into him. The slider goes away from him, but he aims it at his hip. And then he's going to sit him down with 99 low and away. That sucks. Okay. I would make an overlay. I'll be right back. Okay. Again, because it's so bright out, these aren't like the most aesthetically pleasing overlays, but he's stupid. That sucks. So let's build it. Okay. Here's the splitter. First pitch. Boom. Comes in a little bit. You can see the body language on Suzuki, the hip. He kind of shoves his butt out like, oh shit, don't want to get hit. And then you add the slider after that. This is how they tunnel. Oh, that's awesome. Then after that, how about 99 low and away? It's rude. That's rude. I feel bad for Suzuki. Bellinger comes up again. He had a good at bat. He goes all sliders. What did he throw Bellinger in his first at bat? Did he see a slider? No. So Bellinger didn't see a slider in his first at bat. He saw all fastballs and changeups. And maybe that's by design. So now he's going to see two sliders. So he saved those. And also the slider's just looking good right now. Fouls back the slow sweepy one. Goes even slower and sweepier. Belly puts good wood on it, but it's a flyout. Let's keep moving. Now the righty comes up again. Now it's another slider. So how many sliders has he thrown in a row? Three. Third slider in a row. Feeling good. Nope. Wipeout. Man, it kind of feels like when he throws three in a row, he loses the feel for it. And the fastball doesn't have feel for that. So let's go to the splitter 2-0. Got him swinging because it presents itself as a 2-0 fastball and then just dips out. Oh, goes back to it. 2-1. Holds. 3-1. 99 outside, and that's... Guys, we'll hit that. Big leaguers will hit a 3-1 fastball. And he does. There's a hit. Lefty comes up. Happer, splitter away, and... Oh, they throw him out. Okay. Well, they helped him out. Next inning. Oh, here's the first pitch changeup. So Hap's up again. Fresh count. First pitch changeup again to a lefty, just like the first pitch curveball. Just make him think about something else, I think, because it's not that great of a pitch. If you get a swing, that's awesome. Fastball low. All right, he hasn't thrown a fastball in the zone or for like a strike, like a good one in a little bit. Splitter, that's nasty. So the 2-0 splitters are the real deal because it presents itself as a 2-0 fastball, which guys are geared up for, but then it just dips. 2-1, doubles it up again. Gets the swing and miss. So the last at-bat to Morel, he tried to double up the splitter 3-0 to 3-1 or 2-0 to 2-1. Didn't get it. 2-2, four-seam. So, yeah, that's how he likes to pitch. He got strike one on a splitter, strike two on a splitter. Then he uses the four-seam as the punch-out pitch in the zone because this velocity is just that much more. He likes pitching backwards, which I appreciate a ton. First pitch slider, and that is hammered. Is that gone? Yeah. Okay. So, wonder why he was sitting that. Threw a slider a lot earlier in the count. What did Horner get in his first at-bat? He got hit. So, Horner got hit by the split finger in his first at-bat. And then in his next at-bat, that was first pitch slider homer. Congrats. After that, another lefty comes up, and here's another get-me-over curveball. That looks like the sweepy slider. I don't know. For a strike. Oh, that's the slider. So those are different. Are they? I don't know. Both those don't look great anyway. 1-1 count. Fastball. Oh, I love this. I love this call by the catcher or by him. He gets this call on the low fastball. The batter doesn't like it. The batter doesn't think that's a strike, but he gets the call on the low fastball. And what they do is they go, okay, is he worried about the low zone now? Let's expose it with a low changeup. Ends up not working, but I like the thought process there. 2-2, fastball right down the middle. That's his two-strike pitch. It gets fouled off, and then he goes slider. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Freezes him. on an outside giant sweeping 82-mile-per-hour slider. His ability to manipulate that slider is awesome. All right, we got a... Oh, I'm in the fourth inning? Okay. Split finger. Who's this? Mastroboni, lefty. Split finger for a ball. Split finger for a swing strike. That's an awesome pitch. And then another split finger for strike two. And then he's got to go fastball, right? Yep. Yep. Yeah. Low and away fastball. I don't know why he didn't just rip that down the middle. I guess lefty's got to be a little more careful. They have to put wood on it. But yeah, so for strike one, strike two with the non-four seam and then four seam to close it out. Ooh, went slider after the first four seam got fouled back. That gets fouled back to the four seam away. See, I actually don't like that pitch away. I guess not everyone does that, but that's the nine hole hitter, right? Is Mastroboni hitting nine? And like, you know, he's going to do that. Just go with it that way. I'd rather bust him in with the fastball. Eight hole hitter, sorry. There you're talking about busting in with a fastball. It's 100 on the inside of the plate. Strike one. Slider, fouled back, didn't really have bite. Fastball, 100, right down the middle. So he's just going right at Gomes. Slow slider, and Gomes, I think, was sitting on that. Yeah, his timing was perfect. He was sitting slider. So after that, I would have, if you read that, you go back to the four seam. They go back to the splitter, and it works beautifully. Okay, I can't tell you what my favorite pitch is. Is it the splitter or is it the slider? Now, Talkman's up for the third time. He goes fastball, outside ball. Splitter was low the zone. Talkman's not chasing that now. 2-0, fastball low. Okay, so Talkman's in the driver's seat. 3-0, he's gone splitter 3-0 a lot. He goes it again. Talkman was taking the whole way. And then he gets a splitter again, and he's geared up for it. Puts it in. So I think Talkman is saying 3-0, I'm going to clock this pitch. And then I'm going to see what he throws. He's probably going to throw it again. He's all over it. Gets a base hit. And then Suzuki, who's been diced up twice this game, gets a first pitch slider, doesn't go. Next pitch, splitter, swings over at 96. Then dead red fastball. Same sequence he went last time, where he went splitter, slider, four seam. This time he went slider, splitter, four seam. This is a ball. He doesn't get the chase. Otherwise, he was doing the same thing he went last time. 2-1. Well, not 0-2. Splitter inside 97. And then slider, and he just rolls that over, but he's going to be safe. And that was the last pitch. All right, so I don't know. I mean, if you watch the start, maybe that was interesting to you. Maybe not. I just entertained myself. I just fell in love with Paul Skenes. I love pitchers that pitch backwards. I don't even know if it's considered pitching backwards when, like, your opening pitch is still a 96-mile-per-hour fastball with bite. That's nasty. But I do love that he likes to go non-four-seam, gets the two strikes, four-seam, because when you can up the velocity like that, that's awesome. He didn't have command and control of every pitch. I know the elements were weird and also jittery, but the split finger is nasty. I don't know if he needs the changeup and the curveball. The curveball was just a show me pitch. The changeup, the very first one he threw to Bellinger right here was gross and worked perfectly. He didn't throw it again. I think he could probably get by with splitter and four seam, although lefties did seem to get their barrel to both those pitches after a while. So more be about execution. All right. That was Paul Skenes' debut. I enjoyed that very much. First part of the show over and done. Okay. Second part of the show. And I just, I got this book. Andy Martino wrote a new book. I don't even know when this comes out. He's not paying me to do this. He just sent me the book because I'm a baseball fan. And, you know, we are in the industry where, like, if I enjoy it, I will tell you guys about it. So I get sent books all the time, baseball books. It's kind of cool. This is called The Yankee Way. But I think even if you're not a Yankee fan, you'll find this interesting, I think. I got it. Excited to read it. I was trying to annoy Joe's. I flipped to a random page and said, hey, have you heard this? And started reading it to Joe's. And then we both were like, damn, that's awesome. So I just flipped to a random page. I'm going to read it to you guys now. It's about a trade that happened with the Yankees and the Blue Jays back in 2002. And it's very interesting. I might paraphrase. I might just read. But basically, they were looking for O'Neill's replacements, Paul O'Neill in right field. And they just, no one was producing. They needed to get guys. Raul Mondesi was playing for the Blue Jays and they wanted to acquire him. But Mondesi had a reputation as a player who was difficult to manage. And I'm going to read now. Even as the Yankees considered trading for him, he was suspended by Toronto for arriving 10 minutes late to a team meeting. Cashman did not want him. But at the time, Cashman was not in charge the way GM typically is. In an act of protest, he recused himself from the trade talks. So the GM told the owner and the president of the team, I'm out. I don't want this guy. You want him? You do it. Like, balls on Cashman, and like, good for him. That's awesome. So Cashman's quoted here, and he says, Mondesi wasn't me. That was Joe Torre. Torre was like, oh, he'll play great for me. I was against the Mondesi deal and fought hard against it. The boss did that deal. And actually, team president Randy Levine did the deal. I wouldn't do the deal. So I think Randy finished it off. So the GM was like, I'm not getting that guy. You guys want to do it? You do it. Which is wild to me. Because, like, a little bit defiance, but also Cash sticking up for himself. Like, blood's not going to be on my hands. So then it goes on to say that Torre was lobbying for Mondesi in late June. On June 29th, he posted a provocative lineup for the Subway Series game, which George Steinbrenner always cared about, and he played infielder Enrique Wilson in right field at Yankee Stadium against the Mets. So Torre put out an infielder and the outfielder in, like, protest of his own to say, look, I need a guy out here. And George Steinbrenner went crazy and was like, that's it. Let's make the move. Cashman says the boss went ballistic. That's probably exactly what Joe wanted him to do. 2 days later, the Yankees finalized a trade without the involvement of their general manager. It was an ominous development for what the team's decision-making process, for lack thereof, was becoming. And then Mondesi behaved just as Cashman feared he would. His exit from the Yankees came the following July after he abandoned the team. He got pinch hit for in an extra inning game and then left and didn't show up for the team bus and just abandoned the team because he got pinch hit for in an extra inning game. And Cashman says, we were on our way to Anaheim on an off day the next day. I guess he showered up and left the clubhouse. I had him traded by Tuesday to Arizona. That's how I got Kareem Garcia. That's one page of this book that I am so excited to read. But the inner workings of trades and picking up guys, the dynamics is awesome. I mean, a GM saying, I'm not making that move. And then the manager putting a lineup out to provoke the owner into doing the trade and then it happening is wild. So I don't know when this comes out again. And I don't even know. Maybe Andy didn't want me to do this. I texted him. I said, dude, there's another segment I opened up to. I was like, I'm riveted. So that was kind of wild. All right. That was topic number two. Just a little history deep dive into, like, behind the scenes of how shit gets done sometimes. Let's go to topic number three, a quick hitter here. Which teams own what inning? So the first inning, the most runs scored by a team in the first inning, the Philadelphia Phillies. They've scored 41 runs in the first inning. They own the first inning. It's theirs. Do not try to claim it. The Nationals are in last. They've only scored 9 runs in the first inning. The second inning belongs to the Texas Rangers. 31 runs scored by the Texas Rangers in the second inning. White Sox in last with 10. I don't care about OPS, slugging, batting average. Who scores the most runs? You know? Okay. Arizona scores the most in the third inning. Probably because the top of their order is back up again. Where was Arizona in the first inning? They were third in the first inning, and they are first in the third inning because probably Ketel Marte is like back up again. Going crazy. If I click that, will it show me? Will it show me? Third inning. Who's doing it? Who's got it? We're loading. We're toggling. We're waiting. We're loading. RBIs. Ketel Marte 6. Christian Walker 6. Runs scored. Ketel Marte 7. So, yeah. Okay. So far we have in the first inning, the Phillies. In the second inning, the Rangers. In the third inning, it was the Diamondbacks. The fourth inning, the Rangers. Okay, the Rangers have 2 out of 4. Why aren't they playing better? The fifth inning is owned by the Diamondbacks. This is the World Series rerun. Diamondbacks have 2. The Rangers have 2. The sixth inning, the Angels. All right. How about that? Angels beat up on pitchers third time through. Teams try to sneak their pitcher third time through against the Angels. Get some length. Good for the Angels. 34 runs. They are the best team in the sixth inning at scoring runs thus far. The seventh inning, the Astros. There was that awesome stat that isn't awesome for Astros fans that at one point the Astros had outscored their opponents in the second through eighth inning. Just the first and ninth inning, awful. The Astros have scored 40 runs in the seventh inning. They own the seventh inning. The eighth inning, the Braves, 35 runs. And the ninth inning, Wow, a tie between the Rangers and the Marlins. So the Rangers are in the lead in three of the innings out of nine. Good job by them. The least amount of runs in one inning by a team. The White Sox have only scored six runs in the ninth inning. That's the lowest we got so far, six. Toggling through. And yeah, that's the lowest. Six runs by the White Sox in the ninth inning. Away games, they don't even like play in the ninth inning that much. So anyway, that was Jimmy's Three Things. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you enjoy this, subscribe, leave a comment. Let me know if there's a start you want me to dive into in the way I did Skeens. If there's a topic, a stat you want me to research, something that you can't figure out how to research your own. I don't know. Just leave it in the comments. I'll go check it out. Share with a friend. Share with all your Pirates fans and your Pirates. And goodbye.